Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to let you all know that we had some slight technical difficulties with today's recording. We've done our best to remove it, but you may hear some feedback during some of the panelists' conversation. Also, be on the lookout for our Mindset Town Hall for parents and youth goalkeepers with some top GK coaches in the coming month on the Union GK app. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Magid, live from Hollywood, California. With me, dealing with technical issues, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. And not dealing with technical issues because she's in a quiet hotel room, Utah State assistant coach Michelle Dalton. What's up?
Not too much. Don't jinx me, though. I am on hotel Wi-Fi. We all know how that can go.
Oh, we are quite aware. Saskia, you've done some shows from hotel Wi-Fi when you were doing some NWSL broadcasts, weren't you?
Yeah, well, not when I was doing the broadcast. Oh, well, for us, yes. I have. Well, Laughing. That's why I was laughing about the art and stuff. You never know what your background's going to be.
This is the quietest place I could find, so.
Oh, my gosh. No, it's all good. Well, obviously, Michelle, obviously, you're in the thick of the college season, so appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I know this is a topic that's been near and dear to your heart, and we're going to be talking today about incorporating mental skills into your goalkeeper training. But kind of for some people out there who might not be familiar with kind of like what your role is at Utah State, why don't you kind of give them a little bit of background?
Sure. Yeah. It's been a bit of a whirlwind, actually. I moved right as the day preseason started. So I have no idea what day it is or where I am, or it's been a little bit crazy. But I work primarily with the goalkeepers and I've been having a blast. You know, this has been a great environment to work in. The players, the staff, everybody's wonderful. So in addition to working with the goalkeepers, obviously I do some, you know, coaches obviously have other roles and we're on the road right now. So a lot of my other stuff has to do with getting food and meals and, you know, ops pieces. So I'm really enjoying it. Utah State's a great place.
I love how you just threw in like the getting the food and the meals thing. Like, you know, Saskia knows the world of being an assistant coach a little bit. And it's kind of like you're wearing multiple hats because there's only so many people involved in the program.
No, absolutely. I mean, you know, you think you're just tied into goalkeeping and, you know, one day you're running the whole show. So who knows? And then the next day you're back to coaching the goalkeepers, but multiple hats.
Yeah. And I think, honestly, the two visuals I think that are very, very powerful for me that I love is one, sometimes it feels like I'm drinking out of a fire hose, which I think, again, you know, just the visual of that is very intense situations very well at times, but also the way my brain works, it's like a squirrel in traffic. So just right, kind of all over the place. So actually, you know, it's my passion, which is goalkeeping, and sort of my skill set combined, which is why I love the college game, and working with college athletes is my favorite part of it.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I think, you know, that I think I love what you just said there in regards to Michelle, in regards to like you loving the college game, because, you know, Saskia, you know, you spent a good deal amount of time in the college game as well, too. And it's not for everybody, right?
Well, no, I mean, it's. Well, if you compare it to being in the pro game, it's or in club and stuff like that, it's not. It's really intensive. It's hands on, but you're there with players and kids that are away from home for the first time, are learning social skills off the field as well as on the field. You're not just pro, so you're not just clocking in, going home, like rehabbing, coming back. So you're dealing with their studies and everything. So you have to wear multiple hats. You absolutely do.
Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, one of the things, you know, Michelle, that you've really, you know, discussed as well too, you know, off the air with myself in regards to the fact that like, when you are a goalkeeper coach, a lot of the times there's a lot of people that go into the college game thinking, oh, great. Well, I know goalkeeping, so this is going to be work fine for me. But then they start understanding that at the next level, you really need to understand how to work with the other coaches and incorporate your training into what they're doing as well.
Absolutely. I mean, if you want to be successful, right? And ultimately, my philosophy is doing what's best for the players and for the goalkeepers, and sort of working collaboratively is extremely important in that, making sure that everybody's on the same page. It takes a lot of, frankly, effort and a lot of time sitting down, talking to each other, getting to know each other, and working together is a very, very important part of the process. And we'll get into this a little bit more with some of the questions that you have. But a big part of my job, I feel like, is in coaching in general, but sort of my philosophy is getting to know players and goalkeepers as human beings, as people first. Yeah. And that's sort of the foundation from which I develop everything that I do, because I feel like in order to maximize, their efforts and their abilities, that takes an effort on my part, on my behalf, to get to know what makes them tick, what helps them, what doesn't help them, the things that they like, that they don't like. And again, it's effort, that's time, that's energy spent on getting to know somebody as a person, because I don't coach robots. They're going to make mistakes, and understanding how to get the best out of them is ultimately, what's most important.
One thing in regards to that, Saskia, and obviously I know we're having a little bit of issues with the feedback here. So, I know that we're trying to stay a little bit quiet here, but I do want your feedback in regards to that, because you came into the environment and there was a lot that you could give, not just from a coaching standpoint, but from an experience standpoint, how important is that off the field, those off the field conversations?
It's huge. It's just as important as on the field training, because if you don't understand your player, if you don't connect as a human and realize who you're, every goalkeeper is different. We talk about that all the time. What sparks them is different. What motivates them, what demotivates them is different. What they're going through in life. And it's just as important. It's not, I know a lot of coaches say, all right, well, when you step on the opposite sides of the lines, leave everything at home. It's not that easy. It really isn't. And so, if you don't know your players, then you're going to have a problem, and you're going to have a respect problem as well. They're not going to respond to you.
And I'll just chime in too. I think the college game is so interesting in that regard, because they have class, right? Yep. They have social things that they're dealing with. They have, if it's freshmen, maybe the first time away from home, adjusting, right? There's so many different things that go into ultimately being a human being. So why wouldn't you want to know, what your players are going through and how you can help them through that? So ultimately, again, that translates into hopefully positive outcomes for them on the field, right?
And you're also dealing with players that maybe are coming from being the best player on their team, mm-hmm. and now not playing, and maybe never having really structured goalkeeping coaching. Or not the greatest club environment or high school environment. And so there's so many factors that if you're just a trainer and you're just out there to kick balls, then that environment's not for you.
Yeah, and I think that is especially important as we kind of start delving into this topic. But before we do that, Michelle, I think, one of the things is from people out there who might not be familiar is that you had a professional career. You played in the NWSL, you played overseas and everything like that. So you've seen it at all the different levels. And I don't want to say that every coach needs to have played at the professional level in order to be able to coach at the collegiate game, but there's a certain matter of understanding is when someone starts going in a certain direction, you go hey, if you want to get to this level, I can show you steps on what it took. Maybe everyone's different, but I can show you what worked for me to get to that step.
Yeah. I try and keep the conversation off of sort of my experience and cause it's not about me. But yeah, absolutely. Using my experience as a means to, facilitate discussion and those types of things. But I think, reflecting on my career, when I look at goalkeeping coaches in particular that I've had, I think it's natural, for everybody to say, to make comparisons. But I think in my mind, the best goalkeeping coaches that I've had, if I could really boil it down, I would say that there was this trust factor, right? Mm-hmm. And that's sort of what I strive to have as well with my players. And sometimes that means actually having really difficult conversations. sometimes even about life, right? Goalkeeping, soccer, all of those things. But again, it's a human, you're speaking to a human. So other things are going to come out, but knowing that we've worked on our relationship and there's trust there, and you can tell me what's going on in your life. And you know, when the moment, if the moment were to come where we're having a difficult conversation, I know that, at least I hope that, and in my experience as a player, when I had that trust with a coach, I didn't feel really threatened by what they were saying, or like, you know, it was just, it felt like an honest sort of mentor just being real with me and saying, mm-hmm. this is, you know, I expect more of you, and this is how we're going to go about doing this and helping you in this way. But it began always with trust in that relationship, that foundation. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, one thing in regards to that, like that I'm just kind of thinking about, first off, Michelle, is that like when we start talking about mental skills and as we get into the topic, is I'm just thinking about the fact that like you obviously have a grad student, you know, as a goalkeeper, and then obviously you have your younger goalkeepers, you know. So are those conversations different with an 18-year-old versus a 24-year-old?
I think it depends. I think I honestly also try and do a lot more listening when it's off the field stuff. And trying to really get to know a person, because I think, again, that translates. So, you know, I think, for example, like some goalkeepers, when they make a mistake, and I admire this so much because I couldn't be farther from this, just like let it go and let it roll off their back. And you know, that goldfish thing where it's happened and it's gone. And then you have goalkeepers like me who would ruminate and like, you know, let it snowball. And so I think, you know, again, sort of being observant, having those conversations, all of those things play into, okay, well now how can I as a coach best help this person? Sometimes it's not even worth dwelling on, right? Given the goalkeeper, she's already forgotten about it. So what, you know, there's no point in sort of dwelling on it and talking about it, if you will. So yeah, you know, I mean, it's just, it's life, it's relationships. It's, and I think that's the coolest part about coaching. That's why I really love this profession. We really can impact and change lives in positive ways.
Mm. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, as we kind of delve into the topic right here, you know, which is obviously going to be these mental skills right here. Saskia, I want to ask you like just kind of one final question in regards to that, because like, I think one of the most difficult things sometimes, especially for young coaches, and I know we've beaten this over, you know, over the head, you know, all the time, but is that they try to they wanted to be coached as opposed to like what is going to be effective for each respective goalkeeper.
You broke up on me. Can you repeat that? Yeah. Can you repeat that?
I was saying that there are a lot of young coaches out there, and I know we beat this over the head all the time. You know, they try to coach the way they wanted to be coached as opposed to what's going to be effective for that goalkeeper.
Well, I mean, I think through your career, you take little bits from everybody that coached you, and you become your own coach and your own person. But part of that is, like we keep saying, is every player is different. And so it's not your sessions per se that we're talking about that are different for every goalkeeper. Like if you have a group of goalkeepers, you're all training, you're doing the same stuff, but it is your approach. And like you said, Michelle, like some keepers will ruminate on things and can't shake it off. And others, you know, you'll never know. They'll act as if, like me, and then I'd go cry in the car on my way home. So nobody would see. So it's your approach and it is your individual relationships.
So let's delve into the topic, because Michelle, I know you have a lot to say about this. I know this is something that's really passionate to you. First off, like for maybe some parents out there who don't know what we're referring to, like what do we mean by mental skills?
I mean, I think it's so interesting. I guess I'll start the conversation. Michael, you may remember the answer that I gave you, but Saskia, I want to see what you can come out with. I love this question. Again, a mentor that I had going through the process here in my career mentioned this question to me once, and it's clearly has never left me. And I think it's such a great example of, well, I don't want to give it away. So here's the question. Okay. What's the most important save in goalkeeping?
No save at all.
Incorrect.
No, that's my answer. And when people ask me that, it's, well, this is a technical thing. It's because the communication, the organization, everything is so on point that there's your stifling any shot that could come at you. That's the technical term, my answer technically for it. I don't have another one.
No, I love, you know, I love just bringing this up.
What's your answer?
In camps or whatever, just to sort of, you know, everybody wants to say like the breakaway save or the game winning save or the most important save. The most important save in any game is the one you're making.
Okay.
That's the most important one.
Yeah,
that's
you're, all that matters. Okay.
Right?
It's funny. I've heard the question before. That's why I was so quick to answer it. So mine was no save at all, but that makes sense.
Well, right. I mean, it's so simple, and yet, you know, it's part of grounding you and sort of keeping you in the moment. So back to your question, Michael,
what was Mike's answer? Hold on.
Oh.
I think my answer was kind of on the same page as yours, Susk. I was like, it was like not making a save or something like that.
Well, because that was the answer I got a long time ago when I was young, and so I was asked that question, and I was like, you know, I think I was, you know, upper 90 or like whatever, you know, like you're a kid in camp and you're like, you know, but that was the answer I got, and I was like, oh wow, that makes sense. But now yours makes sense, so now I have two answers to the question.
Like, yeah, and I love the simplicity of it, because
I do too. I like that answer better. I'm gonna have to steal it now.
at the end of the day, you know, that's what it's all about, is being present and being in the moment. And again, I reference, you know, like squirrel in traffic. That's how my brain works. Like, you know, and goalkeeping, you're oftentimes managing a lot, right? You're trying to communicate. You're trying to look this way, and the ball's this way, right? There's lots going on. So just being very simple about things, I think it can be helpful at times. And so sort of my philosophy when it comes to mental skills or mental training, I think it's interesting that, you know, there's all these videos online, right? You can find pretty much anything you want in terms of goalkeeping training, be it good or bad, right? Everybody has their opinion about that. But we spend goalkeepers in a 90-minute game. How much time do we hope actually making saves?
Well, it depends on where your head's going. I'm just kidding.
Right. But comparatively, how much of a 90-minute game do you actually spend thinking?
Thinking or making saves?
Both is the point, right? And so we go out in goalkeeper training and we're making saves or right. A topic, we're distribution. But we hope we're not making saves in every moment of every game in a 90-minute game, but yet we're thinking. So why don't we actually train the thinking part of it, right? We're training the technical aspect and oftentimes tactical when we get in with our team, but very rarely the mental part of it. And so there's ways to do that. You know, I think it's, for me, it's always like I'm always going to be learning and willing to implement things. But in its simplest form, I think that's what I sort of strive to do and sort of incorporate some sort of mental training in every session that I run.
By the way, I love the fact that like Susk is basically going through a session right now.
I feel like I'm back at Rutgers. I'm like in class right now. Like, it's okay. I love to learn. So. Well,
but I think too, like there are different, sort of, I don't know if categories is the right word, but you know, if you're into sports psychology, right? If you take some of the pieces of sports psychology and apply it directly to goalkeeping, you know, you're going to have to train being in the moment. What is that like? What does that look like in training? Maintaining focus for 90 minutes, which is very, very difficult, right? Because you're going to have ebbs and flows in every game, and sometimes even within moments. Letting go of mistakes is something that you can train. It's not just something that many people show up and, you know, with the goldfish mentality, so it's something that you have to work at. Dealing with pressure, right? That's another big part of our position of sport in general, but with our position. So there are things I believe that can be done. And can be done within training, not just off the field. And again, you know, that's sort of what I strive to do. It's far from perfect, but I feel like if I can do that, that sort of helps the goalkeepers feel as prepared physically or mentally as they do physically when we're training and we're making saves or working on distribution, whatever the topic.
You know, I love what you were just saying that right there in regards to that, Michelle, because like I think that personally, like a lot of coaches out there, they listen to different people talking about, you know, mental skills, and then they try to basically regurgitate all of that back as opposed to try to be, you know, effective for the moment. Like they're just giving information as opposed to actually implementing it into the session. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, everybody has their own methodology. I can't speak to anybody else's, but you know, again, I think for 90 minutes, we for sure are thinking for 90 minutes. And so can we train that? Can we train the focus? Can we train the concentration? And how can you increase your concentration level to maintain it over a 90 minute game? You know, that's the challenge, right? And some people, you know, you talk about it with psychology too. I remember I actually had this moment in my career once where a save happened and I don't actually even remember it because I was in that whatever it's called, you know, like that zone, if you will. And I knew that I did it because there was film and evidence that it happened, but I was just so in the zone that I don't even recall what I was thinking in that moment. And so sometimes overthinking can be a detriment too, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, like that's not something obviously that you would want to train the overthinking part, which is why I don't necessarily put a focus on that. It's more about being in the moment and sort of organizing or dealing with the situation at hand versus overthinking, if that makes sense. And to me, there's a big difference and an important difference.
You know, I want to talk about this right here that you've got. And by the way, you've got some really, really awesome slides. So I really appreciate that. And I love the color scheme is like the Union goalkeeping app. So that's fantastic. You got the gold and the black going there. But this whole thing about fixed mindset versus growth mindset, I think this is really massive for people to hear about. So why don't you explain a little bit about this?
Well, I think, again, it boils down to mindset in general, just being a human being, right? If are you motivated to learn and grow and challenge yourself, or are you sort of complacent? And so there's just a difference. It's sort of a different perspective on life, different perspective on goalkeeping. And you know, people who want to learn and continue to grow are ultimately, in my opinion, the ones who are going to see the greatest success in their lives and in general on the field as well. They could make a commitment to, you know, constant growth, constant learning, you know, that translates positively.
By the way, sorry, Stan Anderson was like, yo, 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 hello, Michael Suskin. The one and only.
How do you even do that?
By the way, you know, Stan said, Stan quoted and said we had to discuss something about St. Patrick's Day in Illinois or something like that.
Uh-oh.
No, it's just, it's the most important holiday in my family. St. Patrick's Day is my favorite day of the year for sure. Just family traditions. And, Stan has, it's a very exclusive invitation, dinner.
Oh, wow.
Stan has received the invitation. So.
Oh my.
Yes. That's 40 pounds of corned beef. You can't beat it.
Oh my God.
And that, do you have that soda bread too? Do you have that?
My mom makes homemade bread from her mom. It's sort of a generational thing. So,
wow.
Oh my, that's incredible. Now, speaking of fixed mindset versus the growth mindset, like, I definitely have a growth mindset when it comes to food. I'm willing to explore all sorts of different types of food, but I definitely have a fixed mindset a lot of the times when it comes to either coaching, you know, coaching or playing, and that's a block that I've been trying to work on, you know, and grow, you know, as a person, as I've developed as a coach and as a player, you know. Michelle, how do we work on getting rid of that block for a player?
Well, I'm glad, by the way, that you enjoyed trying new food. It was only last year that I accepted the fact that not all peppers are spicy. I had this idea in my brain for a long time that every single pepper out there was going to...
Even a bell pepper?
Every single one was spicy. The word pepper is synonymous with spice, but it turns out that's incorrect. But I think, you know, when it comes to growth mindset, I think in general, I'll kind of use the example of breaking bad habits. I think a lot of goalkeepers have them, and there's even subtle or maybe even little nuances, right? There's so much that goes into, for example, your set position. And goalkeepers whose hands are turned like this when they set or in weird ways, I think the only way to break those bad habits is to be mindful of it. So you can't just show up to a training ground and expect a bad habit to go away. You have to train it with purpose. And so I think my job as a coach is to have those discussions. But I think film is a good resource with that as well, because oftentimes goalkeepers don't even realize that they're doing it, and athletes in general, right? And so I love watching film. I've also, one of the best pieces of advice I was given, unfortunately, like later in my career than I wanted, I wish I would have done this sooner, but I was told, in not so many words, make a hype video for yourself. Because if you ever have a moment, and many athletes do, where your confidence is sort of wavering, you had a bad performance and you're questioning your abilities, you have tangible evidence in film to support that whatever those doubts are that you have are invalid. Mm-hmm. You literally have film to show how great you are at what you do. And so, you know, I actually make that for my goalkeepers before every game. I send them like a little minute hype video of themselves being awesome. Just like a little extra, you know, confidence boost going into a game. So I think that's really important. I have, you know, again, I have a lot of different examples that I use in terms of breaking bad habits and being mindful. I think, again, those are sort of the things that's my bread and butter, trying to work with goalkeepers and develop goalkeepers.
I'm not going to lie. This is one of those head exploding moments, Saskia, for me.
Well, I have a growth mindset because I'm just listening and learning.
I need a hype video for everything.
Oh my God, Mike. Can you imagine just what you walking around with your hype video? Mike, what are you doing watching my hype video?
Oh my God. I can't tell you how many times somebody's gotten in my car and I realized that I'm listening to Inside the 18 while I'm driving. And they're just like, what a narcissist. This guy is listening to himself. But I'm trying to grow. I'm trying to use a growth mindset to see what worked, what didn't work, all that sort of stuff.
I think one of the keys, what you said before we move on from that is it's really the conversations and the explanations. It's gotta be like, you can't just you're holding your hands down. It has to be something that they can kind of mentally take in and say, okay, when I set properly and my hands are up, what does that create? Like, what do I gain from that as well? And like you said, watching video showing, because a lot of players aren't even aware these are habits. And they're not aware they're doing it. They'll probably look at you and be like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? Like, but especially to kind of massage that growth mindset is to allow them to see why they're the benefits from the adjustment, and then start self-correcting. And when your goalkeeper reaches that point, I love the fact when, like, I'd be training players and like a couple of weeks, they'd say to me, oh coach, like when I was in club, and oh coach, you know, this is how I made the save this week in my club game, because I made sure like my set position was proper and my balance and stuff like that. And so now they're starting to learn and apply those things, and they're doing it on their own. It doesn't have, you don't want it to be that you're the one constantly pointing it out.
You know, one thing, Michelle, that, you know, I was kind of finding, and by the way, speaking of growth mindset, I'm learning to be able to deal with the feedback. It's becoming,
I can't even
normal.
Hear myself right now when I talk. I don't even know what I just said. I don't even know what I just said. I hope it made sense, because I can't hear myself.
Oh, I'm getting used to it. This reminds me of, I had to do a stand-up show once where they, after the fire alarm, they couldn't turn off the fire alarm, and we still had to do the show. So we did the show with the fire alarm going the entire time. And after a while, it just became white noise essentially in the background. But it kind of reminds me, Michelle, is that like a lot of the times it's because, you know, you're not used to an environment. How many times has a young player gone into a hostile environment and the fans are behind the goal? You know, Saskia can attest to this, you know, or you can attest to this.
You're
seeing all sorts of different things and they've never experienced that before. So that rattles them. But once it becomes their new normal, it doesn't affect them anymore.
Absolutely. I think, have we all had that experience potentially, the three of us here?
UConn was always pops in my head. It was brutal playing at UConn in college.
Yeah. Well, I played in Portland as a Red Star. And when 22,000 people are chanting dodgy keeper at you, I looked around and I sort of, in my mind, I was like, how do they know? Like, they got into my soul somehow and made me believe. Don't share that with them, but no, I'm just kidding. I mean, it is, yeah, hostile environments are definitely something that, you know, it should excite you, right, as a competitor, but a different, something different entirely that I'm not even quite sure how I would recommend preparing for, but hopefully as a competitor, you'd be excited for those moments.
I think by the time I got to pro, we were playing against Atlanta and their fans would stand behind the goals and stuff. It was like, I was so used to it from college that I was like, I think I grew and it didn't bother me at that point.
Well, now too, there's so much out there on the internet. You know, I experienced this a little bit towards the end of my college career where they like look up your profile and they start yelling things at you, you know, like, you know, so-and-so will hate you. And I'm like, how do they know who my parents are? Or like what, you know, just trying to get in your head type stuff. But that stuff always amused me though. Again, as a competitor, you gotta kind of smile. Some of that was interesting in Europe too, when you're playing some of the stuff that they would sort of yell, American stereotypes and such, and would always make me laugh.
The worst ones, I think.
Mike, I'm going to come stand behind your men's game and just yell things at you.
We had to play a man down yesterday, and it was, I'm not a fan of playing a man down. It's not a fun experience. What's especially in men's league when no one wants to.
I'm going to come heckle you.
God. Anyway, the worst ones I ever got, just to, before we move on right here, just because I want to share this, worst ones I ever got was, hey, looks like the team forgot to bring a goalkeeper with them.
Oh, Mike.
and the other one, and the other one is, I guess the ball boy had to put the gloves on today. So those were fun.
But you have to laugh.
Well, you have to. You have to. All right, let's talk about these questions of the week, because I think these are really cool, Michelle. And why don't you talk a little bit about this program of yours right here?
So I had this really great idea one day. I still maintain it's a great idea, but I tested it out. And I think big picture, the idea was this. So as goalkeepers, we all have this thing in common. And what it is, you know, it's one thing like when you make a mistake and after the game, mom and dad are in the car telling you, you still did great and this and that, but they're not goalkeepers. Maybe they are if you're lucky, right? But a lot of parents, a lot of friends, a lot of, you know, kids at school, whatever the case, aren't goalkeepers. So they don't understand actually what it's like to feel, what it means to make a mistake. And have all eyes on you, and you know, you sort of just feel like just terrible, right, and responsible. So I wanted to create a platform where in general mindfulness about goalkeeping is sort of shared amongst coaches, players, youth, college, pro, right, every sort of aspect of the position, similar to what you guys are doing with the app, but more of a mental focus. And so, you know, like a kid makes a mistake, can they go on to thinking inside the box? Do you see what I did there?
I did.
And sort of have a resource to communicate and reach out to people who are in or have been in their position and just sort of have a dialogue about it or engage in discussion about, you know, the mental side of the position. Because again, I don't think it's certainly trained enough or discussed enough. So sort of an avenue. But what I learned is that what kids want to do now is just thumb through and press like, or, you know, like a double tap on Instagram instead of actually thinking and participating, which is unfortunate, but you know, it is what it is. So it's still out there. I think there's some really good content. You know, I had a sports psychologist participate, some high level coaches sort of speak about the mental side of the game, the position as well. And so, you know, I think it can be a great resource, you know, thinking inside of the box and in general, just having goalkeepers, we sort of all have each other's back, right? Because we're in this union. So I love what you guys are doing with the app and, you know, maybe be able to incorporate some sort of mental piece to what you're doing.
Yeah. Michelle, I think you were just on the wrong platform, to be honest with you. I think honestly, the union is actually the right platform.
Yeah.
I mean, we could do mentorship. We could do sessions. We could do Q&As with parents. I mean, there's all sorts of different directions we could go with this. I think we would absolutely love to have you involved in this. I think, absolutely. I think it would be massive.
Even like it's that engagement and that to be able to reach out. And I think we're seeing that more and more. I just had a long discussion with Maddie Mangia last night, who's with the U17 Mexican team, and, you know, just reached out through the union and everything. And just knowing that she actually can shoot me, like literally we were texting and have access to that. And I think that there hasn't been that. And whether you're on like regular social media and stuff like that, kids don't know if somebody's going to even respond. You know, you send somebody like, you know, yourself or something like that, I would respond, but watch my Instagram blow up or something like that. But now to know that there are those outlets and have access to coaches that are reputable and can answer your question and help you on all parts of your game is huge. And just, I was really psyched to be able to talk to her and that she reached out. So
yeah, I think again, we have this union, right? And so how can we help each other out? And again, the with our position in particular, the mental piece is so important and so critical and and so under discussed and under trained. I think it would be, you know, a great thing to add. What I also did on there and sort of what you're seeing here is questions of the week, but also sort of, I don't know if you want to call them prompts or exercises, but this is one of my favorite ones that I think is super, super valuable and a really good way to hopefully help people. I was told once, you know, again, dealing with like mistakes and being too self-critical. What was his name? The 2018 Champions League, Karius, right?
Oh, he made Karius, yeah.
Everybody remembers that, right? Because it was so blown up. He, you know, in a terrible moment, he made some pretty bad mistakes, right? So I always use that as an example. If you were his sister, brother, wife, friend, mother, whatever, can you write him a letter after that game from that person's perspective? And right. What does that letter look like? What does it sound like? Coming from somebody who cares about him as a person, who has compassion, right? And all of those things. And like the whole world saw that. So, you know, surely he must be feeling awful about himself. And so hopefully, you know, as a goalkeeper, you'd never have a terrible experience, right? Where you're letting in multiple bad goals. But if you were to have a bad experience, can you take out that letter that you wrote him and read it for yourself? Right. So now you have sort of that perspective or that understanding of, okay, right. Like this, there are people out here there who can see through the mistake, who can see that I'm a person. And so, and those are written in your own words. So it's, that can be a pretty powerful exercise.
I absolutely love that. I think that's just absolutely massive in regards to like the fact that like, I mean, I was just thinking about the Karius thing. It's like, I don't think he's recovered from that. Like his career has recovered from that. And I think, you know, one of the difficult things, Saskia, you can add in right here is that I think a lot of times, especially as young coaches, we don't understand how to behave after a mistake with our goalkeepers. You know,
well, I think
they all know they made a mistake.
Yeah, you know, I always say that. I'm like, they're well aware. I think, but you have to change. Like us as coaches, it's a different time now. Like the whole world saw that, you know, and it's still out there and it's still on the internet. And, you know, back when I played, like, you know, if I had a game like that, it's, you know, I have to deal with it internally, but it's gone. You know what I mean? Unless we pick up the 8mm or something and run it, it's not haunting me other than in my own mind for the rest of my life. So I think, you know, you have to be mindful of that. We have to understand it makes it harder to work through those mistakes. Because you are constantly reminded of, and how do we support that? And how, you know, and we've all been there. I don't care what any goalkeeper says to you or player, we've all been there. But it is the people around you that have to have an understanding and reach out to those people that have gone through what you went through. And I agree with you. You know, your parents or friends, they don't know what you're feeling inside. They really don't, because they've never been there.
But by the way, Saskia, the way you bring up your highlight reels, it makes it sound like they're like from like an old timey newsreel.
Click,
the year is 1997. What a goalkeeper.
No, they're not that bad. Yes, they're not on 8mm.
Everyone's doing like that shake thing.
The thing breaks and it like
exactly.
No, they're not that bad.
Salute to all the boys over fighting the war. Like that was like. All right, Michelle, let's get into this question of the week right here, because I think this one's really important. And because I think this is a great one for us just to kind of bring up, and like, what does mindfulness mean training? Mindfulness, that's a tongue twister. What does mindfulness during training mean to you? I got through it. Thank you. What do you mean by that?
I think it goes back to my answer to that question would be similar to what I was describing earlier about breaking bad habits, about being mindful about what you're doing. There's one thing too I sort of want to touch on. I really don't like the term working goalkeeper, right? When the working goalkeeper is doing X or Y, everybody else is doing it. I think my philosophy is everybody's working in every moment. So that's one example of how I use concentration and focus throughout a session, right? And so I think goalkeepers have a tendency, well, that goalkeeper's working, so now I don't have to be as turned on or switched on mentally, or I'm going to pass a ball into that goalkeeper, but I don't have to play it to that person's left foot or right foot. I'll just put it in their general area and, you know, see what they do with it. But I would challenge my goalkeepers, be very specific, be mindful about where you're playing the ball. Those types of things, those little things, I think, again, in training, you can incorporate to make the goalkeeper, all of them, stay turned on for as long as possible. So mindfulness is basically just sort of awareness, in my opinion, awareness about what you're doing, whether it's breaking habits, whether it's, you know, just again, a general awareness of what you're working on, and can you improve that part of your game?
And I think for young goalkeepers out there, think about that. If you check out when you're not in, do you really expect to check back in and be at the top of your game and ready to go? And to approach goalkeeping like it's a switch that you turn it on and off at a moment's notice that's not effective. You know, so if you're dialed in, if you're making sure that, because you're always training, like you said, no matter what you're doing. So if you're the one serving the ball, you're working on your services. If you're, let's say you're not in, are you paying attention to what the goalkeeper that is in is doing technically and tactically and registering that and learning that way as well, so that when you do step in to the situation, it's almost like you were already in. So, you know, and you're 100% correct. And that's a way to train also that 90-minute focus.
Yeah. You know, and speaking of that, you know, I'm just kind of even thinking just Michelle in regards to like, as a coach too, like being mindful of your behavior within a session, because I think a lot of young goalkeeper coaches out there are not aware of how they're behaving within a session. They're either going through the motions, or they're so focused on like, I need to make my progression from here to here to here, because that's what I wrote down.
Yeah, exactly. And again, you know, everybody has their own philosophy, but I think if you can challenge goalkeepers to stay mentally engaged and be mindful of what they're doing for the length of your session, over time, that's going to translate positively, hopefully, into, you know, sustained focus and concentration in a 90-minute game, which is ultimately what, you know, we ask our goalkeepers to do. So we should train that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get into another one of these questions right here. The mental approach to training the same as is it to the game, because I think a lot of young goalkeepers, their mental approach to training, and they'll say things like, oh, I'm more of a game player. I'm more of a game player than a trainer.
Yeah. Again, different philosophies.
Well, one thing you don't want to be is just known as a practice keeper.
No.
Not a gamer.
No.
Yeah, I mean, my philosophy is I'm not sure it should change. I think you train the way you want to play. If you have expectations to play, then why would you change
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
I mean,
you have to remember, you're not. If that's your mentality, then you're affecting everybody else on the field as well. So you're affecting the field players you're training with if you're not training the way you want to play, because they might be training the way they're expected to play. And so if you're not, and you're letting up soft goals and you're doing this, you know, that affects them. It's a trickle down, and you won't be playing. Not you won't be playing on my team. So just say no.
Yeah, and I think confidence is a huge part of goalkeeping, right? And so I attribute a lot of confidence to preparation. You know, just human nature, really. You know if you've done your preparation. You know if you went to bed early enough. You know if you've been eating well enough. You know if you've studied the scout well enough or in enough detail to go into a game feeling like you're prepared. And there's a lot that goes into preparation, but you know, the mental side of it is one part of it. And I think all of that plays into your mentality going into a game. And I think you will be your most confident if you know that you have prepared appropriately. Right. And that, in my opinion, shouldn't change whether you're preparing for a practice or whether you're preparing for a game.
You know, I think one of the things with that is that there's a lot of people out there who try to instigate a warm-up for the goalkeepers that is for them more than it is for the goalkeepers. And I know, especially with older goalkeepers, you know, a lot of times when as I progressed as a coach, they started telling me, they're like, hey, this is what works for me. And we need to be flexible with that, right?
Very much so. That's a conversation that I've have often, because yes, again, it's not about me and what I used to do or what works best for me. It's about the goalkeeper who is, you know, about to step into potentially a hostile environment. What is going to help that goalkeeper feel the most confident in the game? And, you know, I was at a recruiting event, you know, and I noticed that I had actually shown up to watch a goalkeeper warm up, right? Because when you're scouting, that's obviously you're there to watch the goalkeeper, and the most action you would hope would come from
warm up. it's so true. Oh, it's so true. I'm like you go to see them at like an ECNL tournament and they're on the best team, and you leave and you've never seen the keeper make a save, and so you know, you better be there for warm up.
Well, I watched the coach spoke the whole time during the warm up. And I saw very little of the goalkeeper actually. And I'm like, this is a very interesting philosophy. It's more like a training session than it is a warm-up, which again is a different philosophy. And, you know, I'm not intending to be critical, but I thought it was more, surely the goalkeeper doesn't want to, the goalkeeper wants to make saves, right? And feel confident and get warmed up and those things, at least that would be my perception. But I thought it was definitely an interesting approach to things. So I'm a big believer in preparation, in particular pregame warmup, what is best for that goalkeeper to feel confident and to feel like they're stepping into, you know, a place where they can be successful, and how can I help facilitate that? It's as simple as it is, really.
One of the things that drives me crazy in warmup is like the last thing most teams do is some sort of like the long line with the shooting drill or whatever, or it's near far slot runs, but the quality, they're setting it up so that the keeper's getting absolutely blown into the back of the net. And I'm like, all right, you're setting everybody on the field up for success here. You've just destroyed your goalkeeper mentally, like destroyed them. And now you're like, okay, huddle up, let's go. And you know, and I'm just like, okay, like you had like coaches out there, please take you're prepping your entire team and a goalkeeper as well. So set your goalkeeper up for success in warm-up as well as you do your team.
Yeah. You know, and I think that's the most important thing, Saskia, is like the whole idea is to be successful. Like that. Isn't that what you want? You want the goalkeeper to go in there feeling like they can stop anything, feeling like nothing's going to get past them, as opposed to like, congratulations, you just went through the progression that I wanted you to do, and now I feel comfortable with you going into the game. It's about them feeling comfortable.
Or your forwards are feeling comfortable. But is that realistic though? that you just set up a drill so that your forwards feel comfortable, but is it really realistic? Are they going to get that ball laid on a platter at the penalty spot or inside between the top of the six and the penalty spot and just blow the keeper into the back of the net? Like make it a little more game-like so that there can be success on both ends.
Yeah, under no pressure and with no defenders, right?
Exactly, and doing dummies and having a first and run up or three touches and then blowing the keeper in the back of the net. And I'm just like, how is this positive right now?
But Michelle, it's always fascinating to me that when I see literally at the all the way from like the AYSO youth level to the professional game, I see the same shooting warmups that are so unrealistic.
And yeah, you know, I think that's an interesting point because I think oftentimes too, this is an interesting topic. There's a lot of people who have different opinions about realism within goalkeeping training too, right? And this is a whole different, I think, huge topic that we could discuss. But I think one thing, again, if we're talking about sort of the mental skills of goalkeepers and goalkeeping training, the one thing that I also like to emphasize a lot is, man, what a glorious day it is if we can watch a shot without any obstruction the whole time in a game, right? Like, what an unbelievable situation that is. But yet in goalkeeper training, we don't generally have people in front of us, defenders. Mm-hmm. You know, you can try and use mannequins as much as possible, but if a coach says you got the goalkeepers for 15 minutes, warm them up, what can you do to make it realistic? What can you do to, you know, understand, like make them train the fact that they're not going to be able to see the ball all the time, mm-hmm. Or 100% of the time. So I'll challenge my goalkeepers as well. Can you just take your eyes off the ball? You know, if I'm asking you to move left to right, can you just take your eyes off just quick? Right. And part of making a save is being able to see it, right? So that moment of, all right, I can't see it. Now I have to adjust and basically figure out with my eyes where the ball is at in that moment. I think, again, training that helps, even though there's nobody necessarily in front of you in that moment. When you get to a game, it's similar. I had, you know, my eyes aren't on the ball and now I have to pick it up with my eyes as quick as possible and make that save. So little things like that, I think, are possible to incorporate into goalkeeper training to make it somewhat more realistic. But again, a different topic for a different podcast, I think.
I mean, that's, you know, I think one of the things that, you know, Michelle, when you discuss that, I think a lot of times I'm just going to bring this up to, you know, for anybody who works with young foundational goalkeepers out there who take things very literally. Michelle does not mean to be running training sessions where you're teaching your goalkeeper to take their eye off the ball and then find the ball.
No. No, we don't need any concussions. We don't need any. I broke my nose three times. I would strongly discourage anybody from attempting that.
Hey, kid, close your eyes. And if you sense the ball, open them.
That's hilarious. I mean, I should have thought about that better. Well, good interpret, I suppose, what I just said is, but that is not the case.
Well, people Mike knows kids are so literal. It's like, it's ridiculous. Okay,
I was listening to this podcast and the coach was telling me to close my eyes. Speaking of goalkeeper education though, let's talk about this because I love what you're saying right here in regards to like, how are you educating your goalkeeper brain? Do you watch video, attend camps, attend pro games, college games? Every single action can be a thinking process where you're learning and educating and growing, that growth mindset again, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, you were reading what thinking inside the box. I was wondering if you were asking me personally, but yes, even as a coach, growth mindset, and Saskia alluded to this as well. How much can you continue to learn and continue to grow? Mm-hmm. And I think people, one of the things that I'm learning that I find interesting is that, and again, we've talked about this, every goalkeeper is different in the way that they learn, the way that they take in information and apply it. And so again, it goes back to relationships. Can you get to know a goalkeeper so that you can maximize how they learn and how they learn best? Some people love to watch film. Some people, you know, I need to jump in goal and sort of demonstrate what I'm asking them to do. Certainly not flying around these days, but you know, if my communication isn't working and I'm not, the information that I'm trying to convey isn't being received, then I feel it's my responsibility to, you know, to either change how I'm communicating or show, and maybe show in film in addition to that. All these types of things I think help you know, goalkeepers continue to develop. And I think watching games at a pro level is great. Watching college games, going to the games, watching warmups, all of those things, you know, are certainly going to help in goalkeeper development for sure.
But by the way, Michelle, I just want to say that whatever hotel you're at right now, I mean, I know we don't have the sponsorship of them, but like that Wi-Fi is, this is the best hotel Wi-Fi I've ever seen in my life. You have no feedback issues. I have like the highest quality Wi-Fi there is. There's feedback issues here. Suska's in a home. Like I don't.
I'm fine. At least I think my Wi-Fi is fine.
It's even more impressive to think that every single one of my players right now is probably also on the Wi-Fi doing homework. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
I mean, it's absolutely massive. But I want to talk about attending camps because that's where we first met. Was at a camp. Shout out to Stan. Your St. Patrick's Day dinner honorary guest. But we met at the camp, and you know, one of the things that I love about a camp like a Camp Shutout, and again, this is not just an endorsement of Camp Shutout, but just a generalization, is that there's people there that are there to learn for the week and grow for the week. They're not just there to get scouted so that the university gives them a scholarship because it's not by a university. How important do you think those types of programs are to a goalkeeper's mental skills that they're learning and working with other goalkeepers in an environment that's, for lack of a better term, a safe space?
Yeah, I think it's huge. And I think what's most important, I think one of my favorite parts about Camp Shutout is that, again, it goes back to every goalkeeper, every person learns differently. And so what I love about Camp Shutout, it is, you know, it's 5 days of goalkeeper training, but every day you get the opportunity to work with a different coach. And so I think that's really important because maybe one day or one person you're working with, you don't really like what you're doing with them stylistically or the way that they communicate or whatever the case may be. So you have a different opportunity now to work with somebody new and different. And maybe that person does, you know, appeal to your learning style. And I think that's super, super important. And yeah, attending different camps offers you the opportunity to do that, to work with different coaches and to make friends, right? The GK Union is far reaching. So can you get out there, make some friends, you know, and learn and continue to grow in your own way? I think that's super important.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, Saskia, you know, you've talked this about this before. It's like there's a whole world out there when it comes to goalkeeping. And like, if you're just only exposed to the four goalkeepers in your ECNL area, then you're very limited on what's out there. And especially from a standpoint of like, you know, wanting to play at another level. And I obviously don't want to get into the college recruiting topic. You know, we want to stick it from a compliance standpoint. We don't want to go in that direction at all. But like you need to expose yourself to what's out there in order to keep growing and becoming a better goalkeeper.
Absolutely. I mean, you have to test the waters, and it's always good to be around other players and see what they're doing, what level they're at. But the thing I like, Michelle, is with Camp Shutout is being with a different coach. It's also on the coach's side as well, because all the coaches will see something different. So maybe like, you know, one day they were with you and you were helping and saw a certain like hitch in what they were doing or a certain something they were doing like consistently that needed work on, but another coach might see something else. And so that really is the best way to grow.
Yeah. You know, and I think I want to bring up this last thing right here before we kind of start wrapping this up right here, because I think the best, and by the way, Michelle, you know, I think one of the problems I hear a lot of times when people hear things like the best is like, they think, oh, that's they're done. I'm the best in my league. I'm the best in the ECNL region or whatever, as opposed to like, you know, oh no, I'm just at a certain step. But just from a generalization standpoint of undeniable qualities, I love the fact that you brought him short-term memory and bulletproof confidence, having both. I think these are both very difficult for any goalkeeper at any level to obtain.
Yeah, absolutely. And how do you work on that is the challenge, right? I mean, I think ultimately what it means is you have to make mistakes over and over and over and over again. You have to be willing to make mistakes. And that's what goalkeeping, that's frankly what learning is, and not just in goalkeeping, but in life. And it's sort of how you deal with adversity, how you deal with mistakes. That is something that you have to sort of put into practice And I'd be the first person to admit I'm far from perfect in anything. In fact, it makes me uncomfortable at times when people say, you know, goalkeeping expert. I am far from an expert. I've been in situations and I'm always willing to offer my perspective and share my experience, but I have that growth mindset where I'm always learning, I don't always have the answers. I'm always willing to try and help. And if I don't have an answer, try and seek somebody who may, you know, be able to offer a different perspective. But you know, short-term memory and confidence, those are things again, that is just an ongoing process, I would say, for every goalkeeper. So to say that, you know, the best have those two undeniable qualities, I think ultimately when you look at historically some of the best goalkeepers in the world, they might have those attributes that they, you know, they claim or say that has helped them through their career ultimately to get them to a point where, you know, they're considered the best in the world. I'm not sure necessarily some of them would consider themselves to be the best, but you know, that sort of depends on the person.
So anything you want to add to that?
What were we talking about?
We were talking about...
No, that was a joke.
Short-term memory.
Short-term memory and bulletproof confidence. There we go. Moving forward. Michelle, as we wrap up, I want to talk about parents a little bit here, because parents are a big piece of this, especially at the youth level. Hopefully not so as much at the college and professional level. Although that's a whole other topic that we can get into another day. but how can parents be involved in this process of developing these mental skills for these young goalkeepers?
I think listening is such an underutilized tool in communication. I think, you know, being observant and watching and listening to your child is important, and just sort of helping them and guiding them through the process, not necessarily forcing them to do anything, but rather listening when they make mistakes, you know, just being there. And again, having that trust factor where your child is able to communicate to you and, you know, you can help them out just ultimately by listening in a safe place. But I would also encourage parents to, if they're going to give advice and they don't have goalkeeping experience, can you take the lessons of life out of whatever your child's dealing with within goalkeeping, for example, right? There's so many leadership components that come with our position. There's so many, you know, teamwork, hard work, communication skills, all of those things. Can you, instead of talking about like the nuances of goalkeeping, if you're not familiar with those, can you instead focus and change the conversation to be more, all right, well, big picture, this is what you're going to have to deal with in life type stuff. And hopefully, you know, I think we all have life experience when it comes to those things. Mm-hmm. So talking from just a kind of a different perspective on it and less about the goalkeeping aspect of it and more about big picture stuff, I think would be helpful and important for a child.
I absolutely love what you just said right there. Mm-hmm. It's something that I want to stress to parents when I talk to them, because I think so many times, Saskia, the parents focus on the goalkeeping and being successful as a goalkeeper and growing as a goalkeeper, when in reality, like, they know more about life. So maybe if they can take it and spin it from an experience standpoint about their life, it might be better for the goalkeeper. I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud here.
No, and I also think, Don't just be that kind of that yes person when you have a young goalkeeper that comes to you and they're upset. Well, they're upset about their team. They're not playing. They're like, yes, you want to be their shoulder and everything, but take your life experiences and answer those questions. You know, don't just get on the phone, start yelling at the coach. You know, I know every parent wants to fight for their kid, but kind of educate on what's going on, you know, like, and teach a different approach. But those parents and players and coaches, that's a whole nother conversation, you know, but oh. I really like what you said, Michelle. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, whoa, I don't know what that was. Are we still getting that feedback? Okay. Now it's getting worse. Now it's getting worse.
Now it's me.
Okay. You know what it sounds like? It sounds like airport, like air, like a air.
No, it sounds like a CB radio. Do you guys know what that is?
Oh, that's like, yeah, where they're getting like
breaker,
a
breaker, like in, yeah, the trucks, breaker. Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to have to stop doing podcasts.
Stan, don't you dare comment on the fact I just said CB radio.
You guys, again, you guys can check out all of Saskia Weber's highlights at the Penny Movie Theater.
All right, let it go.
Oh my gosh. Well, Michelle, we really appreciate you taking this this time for everything. Definitely, absolutely, we'd love to get you involved in the union. I know you're obviously busy in the college season right now, but I think this is something that would be very massive for our whole community. We actually have a whole parent-based group. We're going to be doing a town hall session on mindset for parents out there with two former elite goalkeepers in their own right who are now in sports psych. One of them actually from Camp Shutout, Jameson Kronzer, which I believe you're familiar with, and what he's got going on with his program over there. If people want to reach out to you, I believe it's at coach_Dalton on the union. I think that's what it is. Yeah. And obviously, guys, if you want to reach out to us, it's at Goalkeeper Podcast for a guest or topic suggestion, or contact at InsideTheAteamMedia.com on email. You can reach out to Saskia at Saskia on the Union, or me at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union, or at Michael Magid on the Union. This is getting worse and worse and worse, so we're going to start wrapping this up. That is all the time on Inside the 18. And we are out. Later, guys.
Thanks for... Yeah!